Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Merry Christmas, Trinity Church. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God makes a home with us. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God makes us family, invites us to come home, to be at home, and to share in the homemaking on behalf of our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters throughout the world. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God makes a home with us. At my Shreveport, Louisiana high school, when one wanted to know where a classmate lived, one inquired, "Where are you staying? Where are you staying?" And as much as the question implied the queried's impermanence, the question also assumed the inquisitor's itinerance. That is, neither party in the conversation imagined life as anything other than a series of temporary arrangements. My address is where I'm staying now, but it's not my home. I may not be there tomorrow, much less next month or next year. In that teenage social economy then, there was generosity in the exchange, for we did not force one another to confess our upheavals. In my own life, I was fortunate to have a different experience of home, an understanding physically rooted in my paternal grandparents' simple ranch-style house on Bayou Desired in Monroe, Louisiana. We called my grandfather Sir, a needling homage to his protest of his children's impolite response to him. "Susan, Tim, Steve," he would call out. "Huh? What?" They would answer, prompting his quick retort, "Don't what me, it's Sir." And so he was. My grandmother, Virginia Mae Stevens Allen, we called her Jenna. My son and I inherit our middle names from her, and my wife and I named our daughter for her. My grandparents raised their five children in that house they built in 1954. And in my lifetime, my family referred to it exclusively as Jenna's and Sir's. And to Jenna's and Sir's, Lord have mercy, I knew that I was loved. We always entered Jenna's and Sir's through the carport, and their noisy screen door creak, snap, as it opened, creak, snap, when it closed. So abiding in my memory is that sound. I still hear it, not only when I conjure it intentionally, but in my sleep, man, I hear it in my dreams. See, all of the clanging and for all of the kerplunking, of all the glurping and the guffawing, the clicking and the crunching in this world, that screen door is for me the very sound of home. Love in its creaking, family in its snapping. The Incarnation realizes the ancient Jewish belief that God dwells in the midst of God's people in this life and for us as Christians even into the next. To symbolize God's presence among them, ancient Jews carried in their wanderings the tablets of the law. And later Jewish thought located God in the Jerusalem temple. And the faithful would make pilgrimage every year to offer prayer within those sacred walls. Jesus' life harkens back to that older tradition. that God has no particular house. Rather, God makes home wherever God's people are. God makes home wherever God's people are. Tonight, we inherit that conviction. Sir died just before Christmas in 1997, and on Christmas Eve morning, we celebrated his life at St. Paul's Methodist there in Monroe. My grandmother would remain in Jenna's and Sir's until she died more than 10 years later. And after her death, my family moved slowly to sell the house. Though my father and his siblings blamed the delayed sale and the condition of Monroe's real estate market, none of us complained too much about waiting a while before we said goodbye to that parcel of earth. In the time between the listing and the sale, my aunts and uncles, my cousins, my father and I, we all found excuses to spend a night or two within those familiar walls. Well, I probably ought to go check it out, make sure none of y'all left the water running, we would say to one another. Creak, snap. As we came home one last time. In the same season that Jenna's and Sir's house sold, we grandchildren were making our independent lives, some of us in far-flung places. And since that time, my family has experienced a placelessness. Now, where do we have Christmas now? Where will we spend time together? Where is home? Now, those of us assured a roof over our heads when we leave worship tonight must be careful when speaking of a spiritual homelessness. For there are brothers and sisters who will know no such assurances. Mindful of, and I pray, responsive to our neighbor's needs. Neither let us underestimate the disorientation any of us experience when we lose one of our life's constants. The death of someone who loved us well. The loss of a holy place. Loss of a place of welcome and safety, perhaps the loss of a dear friend, even a vocation, a job. I want to go home. Our hearts beg. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. In the Nativity, God welcomes Mary and Joseph as the Holy Family and charges this young couple to become homemakers for their God. Though they have no house, not even a room above the local bar, Mary and Joseph consent to God's love, and they make a home where they are. Mary and Joseph don't choose the manger. The manger chooses them because there was no room for them in the inn. And so they did what had to be done for a crib. They wrapped their newborn son in what swaddling they had to warm him. They stayed near one another, and they gave thanks to God. And as God made a home with them, they made a home for God. Friends, this is our family story. Not mine, not yours, it's ours. The one we heard as children, the one we tell now as we grow older. and the romancing of this tale. The telling of it in a room like this. In the crowd, this numerous, in a worship, this wondrous, the romancing of this tale, it is our homemaking. With God, and if we would have it, with one another. When we recount this story, we reorient ourselves to matters of consequence. To the God whose promises we so easily forget. To the God whose love we too often underestimate. For most of my life, no matter how much time had passed, no matter where I had been or what I had done, I could orient myself to that familiar Louisiana entry. And when Jenna heard me coming, creak, snap, before I could hit the wooden door behind the screen, she would beat me to its knob. At this time of year, she would be standing in the doorway, vested in her Christmas apron. I remember the one, arms outstretched, and I knew of all the carports and all the grandmothers and of all the houses in the world, this was mine, home. Where I knew that I was welcome, where I knew that I was loved. Like Mary and Joseph before us, we inheritors of Gabriel's announcement and God's promises, we make a home for God. Even as God, right now, is making a home among us. We consent to God's love. We lean into one another. We tell the old stories. We gather in the name of God, believing that God is here. And where God is, there is home. God still opens the door to this world, carries love itself across its threshold, and makes us family. You and me, family. The family of God. And no matter how much time has passed, where you've been, what you've done, you will always have a home here. This, the house of God, will be your home here, a place of welcome and love, arms outstretched. That God would bless us with such a home this merry, merry Christmas. Pray in the name of the infant King. Amen.